opportunity to enjoy it. So we might as well take every opportunity that we have to encourage one another. First of all, let me say this. Thank you, Pastor John. I appreciate the fact that this pulpit, you've been willing to share. This is not something that I asked for you all. This was his insistence to put me in front of the congregation because he felt like what I have to offer is what this congregation needs. And that doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen that way often. And so I'm thankful to Pastor John. I'm also thankful for his message. I don't know how many of you all have Facebook and were able to actually hear his message concerning of comfort and encouragement to our congregation. But some of the things that he said was, or a couple of the things that he said was, for us not to be dominated by fear. He said that it's okay to be afraid, but not to be dominated by fear. And he said, even though that's the case, that we need to be prudent. We need to be wise. The Bible encourages us to be harmless as a dove, wise as a serpent, wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. Yes. And so we do. We do need to be very, very prudent in how we move. But in our prudence, he encouraged us not to stop loving one another. Not to stop loving and encouraging one another. And lastly, he said that we should pray. And he not only told us to pray, but he's modeled that before us. And so I'm here today because when he asked me to speak, the first thing that came to my mind to speak about was a word of encouragement. And that word of encouragement is fear not. That word of encouragement is fear not. Now, I'm a type of person who may on the outside look like there's not a lot that worries me or troubles me, but that hasn't always been my life. I shared here before, fear was a constant companion of mine growing up. I remember, as far back as I can remember being afraid of the dark. I used to wet the bed, and I used to be afraid of people knowing that I wet the bed. I used to be afraid when I had an opportunity to read in front of people because I wasn't a good reader, that everybody would see and mock. I used to be afraid of what others thought about me. I used to be afraid of getting in fights because I wasn't a fighter. And my neighborhood was one where a lot of fights took place. It was a time when I was in junior high school where there were gangs all over the place. And I remember one of my first days of school going from a private school to a public school and walking down the hall one day. Got all my books in my hands, and I'm walking, the only one walking down the hallway this way. And there's a bunch of guys walking up the hallway this way. And I'm saying to myself, I can't turn around and walk the other way. I have to walk by them. And as soon as I got to where I was about parallel with them, out of nowhere, somebody hit me. And I just remember my books falling on the ground. And I didn't know what to do. I picked them up, and one of the guys says, oh, don't mess with him. He's all right. And they got up, and they walked away. And that just reinforced the fear. That reinforced the fear. Why am I talking about this today? Because it's common for us to fear, you all. It's common for us to fear. I would go as far as to say that everybody in here has something that they're afraid of. It might not be the coronavirus, but it's something. And so God allowed me to come to you today, or come before you today, to just remind you that God has provided in Christ everything we need to resist the temptation to fear. I'm going to say that again. God has provided in Christ everything that we need in order to resist. I didn't say avoid. I said resist the temptation to fear, especially in this time of a global pandemic. Another story that I know to be true is, I don't know how many of you all I told or shared this story with. I had an older brother who died in a car accident when I was 17 years old. He was 22 years old, and he was in the Air Force. He was going to pick up his roommate from work, and he came to a railway stop that the hand was down. And the train was stopped on the tracks. Well, he decided, like others, I'm sure, that he would go through. But what he didn't know, that there were multiple tracks. And so as he went around the train, he was immediately struck and drugged about 100 yards and suffered internal head injuries and died on impact. What I didn't understand that I come to know a whole lot later is that in that moment, there became a fear deep in me. And that fear in me was that I was going to die early. And I know I'm not alone in that fear. Even as I speak to you today, that there are some people in here who believe that for whatever reason, they're supposed to die early. Well, I thought that so much that I didn't even have my license until I graduated from college. Because what I didn't understand was, on a subconscious level, there was fear that prevented me from even wanting a car. Because I associated cars with death. And then, as a graduation present, my father bought me a car. What are you going to do? Not only did he buy me a car, but at that point in time, when he bought me a car, which is a 1975 Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme, white with a blue top, okay? When he bought me this car, I was living in New York City. My dad lives in Dayton, Ohio. So I had to drive from Dayton, Ohio, back to my home in Brooklyn, New York. And as I'm driving, I prayed every prayer I knew, y'all. Sang every song, every comforting scripture as I'm coming through those mountains, the mountain ranges. And what I didn't tell you was it was wintertime. It was wintertime. And I remember finally getting into Jersey. Before I was stopped by the police, but getting into Jersey and just thanking God, because something had happened in that trip. That fear melted away in the presence of Almighty God. As he filled that car, you all, something happened. And I wish I could explain it. I don't know the moment that it happened, but that fear was gone, and it wasn't gone for that day. It was gone forever. It was gone forever. And so I'm here to tell you, not just by what I've heard or not just by what I've experienced, but from what the Word of God has taught me, I've known for myself, I'm able to pass on to you. The encouragement that I received, I'm able to pass on to you. And so I want to share this scripture with you that I believe captures why we don't have to fear. And my hope today is that as a result of you hearing this message, that you, like me, will know something. The something that I want you to know is that because we have the wisdom of God, we have the Word of God, we have the way that God does things, and we have his will, that we don't have to be afraid. Because we have the word of God, because we have the wisdom of God first that's contained in the word of God, which shows us the way of God and reinforces the will of God, it should dispel every fear we have, regardless of where that fear originated or how present that fear is now. I wanted to make sure that I shared a couple things with you all this morning. One of which is we know that everybody's been talking about the coronavirus and what it is and how it came about. And so I wanted to just share some information on it that I received from a doctor friend of mine via Facebook. And he said, the coronavirus has been isolated and discovered since the early 1960s. There are currently up to 20 different strands of the coronavirus in circulation on the planet. Its origins are from animals, which make it zoonotic in nature. Nearly 80% of the infectious diseases we face as humans have ancestral ties to animals. They mutate and spill over and have the ability to infect us. There are currently 7 coronavirus strains that are found to infect human beings and cause symptoms. 4 of those strains typically cause mild upper respiratory symptoms and mild sore throat. Yes, chances are you've had the strain of coronavirus as of a common cold or due to a common cold. The last 3 strains have been proven the deadliest to humans. The first strain is MERS, which stands for the Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome, and it is the deadliest. The mortality rate is between 30 and 40%. The second is SARS, or SARS, which is the severe acute respiratory syndrome and has a mortality rate between 15 and 20%. And the last is the new guy on the block, Coronavirus, it says 2 here, the new novel, slightly genetically different from its cousin SARS, which its mortality rate is estimated as being 2.2 to 3.4%. He goes on to say, Lysol and Clorox-based products are good for eliminating most viruses on surfaces, but studies are showing that the new coronavirus can live especially on metal and plastic materials for up to 3 days. So he encourages people to wash their hands. Now, I told you that the reason why I wanted to share information with you all is because this is common. But I want us to read this scripture first. It's found in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And it reads, this is the Amplified version, by the way. It says, no temptation, regardless of its source, has overtaken you that is not common to every human experience. Nor is any temptation unusual or beyond human resistance. But God is faithful to his word. He is compassionate and trustworthy, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability to resist. But along with the temptation, he has in the past and is now and will always provide a way out as well so that you will be able to endure it without yielding and will overcome temptation with joy. That should be exciting to somebody in here today. Now, when I was looking at this scripture, the reason why I decided to use this of all scriptures was because I felt like in this scripture, it not only shows us where we are, it shows us our way out. It not only shows us where we are, it shows us our way out. Everybody in here, we've already established, has the ability to be in fear. At least I've attempted to establish that. Would you agree that you have the ability to fear something? That you're afraid of something? One of the reasons I like Facebook is because Facebook has some very, very interesting information on it. One of the things that it had on it was all of the things that were going to kill us. A list of all of the things that were going to kill us. So it says, in 2000, Y2K is going to destroy everything. In 2001, anthrax is going to kill us all. 2002, the West Nile virus is going to kill us all. 2003, SARS is going to kill us all. 2005, the bird flu is going to kill us all. 2006, E. coli is going to kill us all. 2008, the financial collapse is going to kill us all. 2009, swine flu is going to kill us all. 2012, the Mayan calendar predicts the end of the world. 2013, North Korea is going to start World War III. 2014, Ebola virus is going to kill us all. 2015, ISIS is going to kill us all. 2016, Zika virus is going to kill us all. And 2020, coronavirus is going to kill us all. Then it says at the bottom, the truth is, fear is killing you. Turn off the TV, pray, trust God, and wash your hands. Is that all right? Like I said, the scripture starts out and says, no temptation has overcome you that is not common to man. So, therefore, every one of us, everything that we see, coronavirus is common to man. Fear is common to man. But just because it's common to man, I'm glad that we don't stop. The scripture doesn't stop there. It goes on to say, and I like a couple of different versions. One of the versions says, but God is faithful. Another version says, and God is faithful. And another version says, better, God is faithful. And then it goes on to say, and he will not let you be tempted or beyond your ability. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability. So what I said before was, there's no temptation that has overtaken you except the common kind. I said before that we have God's wisdom. And because we have God's wisdom, we need not be afraid. Because if we know that viruses come and viruses go, if we know that in his word, he said, in this life, there will be trouble. If we know that in Psalm 91, he said that he would protect us. Under his wings, we would be able to hide. If we know that he is who he says he is, just as Pastor John said and Pastor Kevin said earlier, in order to believe God, you have to first know that he is God and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you know who he is? Because I was tempted earlier this week. I was tempted to fear earlier this week. Why? I don't know how many people know about the school that I attend or the school where I work. We found out that a student was exposed by a parent who was identified as having the virus. This was days after my wife and I had a conversation where she was deciding whether or not she was going to get on a plane and fly to Florida for a funeral. And I'm saying to her, "Babe, we're people of faith. We can't stop living. We cannot stop living. At this time, I would much rather you love on those people who loved on you than to stay back and fear what could happen." Then all of a sudden, almost right after that, I get this notice. And I found my hands in my mouth. Why? Because that's what I do when I get worried, when I'm nervous. I start eating at my cuticles. And I'm thinking to myself, man, what do I say to my wife when she gets home? That's part of it. What do I say to my wife when she gets home? And it was made even more difficult or challenging because I wasn't at school when the news broke. And so they had an emergency meeting, but I wasn't there. So I felt like I was out of the loop and that I might have missed something that I should not have missed. And then I remember, I reminded myself of the God that I serve. Did I make some phone calls? Of course I made some phone calls. Did I do my due diligence? Of course I did that. But then I had to sit back and say, you had to know that if you say you believe something, it's going to be tested. If it's good enough for your wife, it's good enough for you. So what you going to do? So I pulled back and I got into my quiet place and I just started praying in the spirit, y'all. And I felt the love of God overwhelmed me. And since that time, my hands are good. I was able to have that conversation with my wife. Why? Because I made God preeminent and not the news that I heard. And in making God preeminent, Corona couldn't be in my life. It couldn't be. And so I want to share with you all, because I believe that one of the things that we need to do in order to move past fear is we need to, first of all, establish his preeminence. Today, that's what we need to do. Establish his preeminence. Pastor Kevin did an excellent job of encouraging us. Pastor John did an excellent job of encouraging us. And I don't know if I'm doing an excellent job of encouraging you, but I know somebody who can. So if you play that video, this is of a man, Pastor S.M. Lockridge, and this is called "That's My King."
He's a king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory.
When you hear that, what is a coronavirus when you hear that? When you're reminded of that, what is a coronavirus? Absolutely, positively nothing that we can't handle, that we can't resist. I'm so glad that God's words remain in the heavens, fixed in the heavens. He who dwells in the secret of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the day, or terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. That's the word. I just wanted to encourage you out of the word today. The word in Psalms 118 and 8, which is what Pastor John had given us a couple weeks ago, said, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. My hope, my trust is not in a doctor or a surgeon, even though I am so appreciative of what they do. My hope and my trust is stuck. But I had to fix my hope, and I had to fix my trust. I had to set apart in my heart Jesus as Lord. And I'm encouraging you, if you haven't done that because you've been racked with fear today, to set apart Jesus as Lord, and everything else is going to come into alignment. You're going to find in that the opportunity. After you've established his preeminence, to enter into his presence. Once you've established his preeminence, then you have the right to enter into his presence. And when you enter into his presence, you get to enjoy his peace. When you enter into his presence, that's where the peace is. You're not going to have peace outside of his presence. You're just not. And so when it says, but with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. One of the escape routes that he has made is in his presence. One of them. Now, I don't know a whole lot of them, because what you need will show up at that point in time. He's promised it. Your way out is what it said. He will provide a way out, a necessary way, the better way. He's going to show you the better way. I can't show you the better way, but he's going to show you the better way. And when he shows you the better way, you still have a choice. Whether or not you're going to take that better way, or whether or not you're going to stay where you are. Fear is paralyzing you all. I've been paralyzed with fear at times. But I'm so glad that at other times, I chose to see God's way out and take that way out, and it changed everything. And I'm telling you all, if you have decided, or when you decide to make him preeminent, then you're able to see him how he really is, and the response is worship. The response is worship. You fall on your face and you worship the King of Kings. You fall on your face and you worship the Lord of Lords. And there's a peace that passes all understanding that accompanies that. And so I didn't want to be before you long. I don't have a whole lot more. I was asking God, Lord, get me out of the way. You know, I could talk about the fact that, you know, a lot of people might say of this scripture, where did it come from? And what was it about? And Paul was speaking to the church at Corinth. And when he was talking to the church at Corinth, he was talking to those who were strong and he was talking to those who were weak. And he was admonishing them both or encouraging them both. But he was not just talking to them, because he goes on to say that I'm talking to those to the end of the age. The end of the age is when Jesus comes back. So with that, the things that he's talking about as far as temptation, they touch us as well. They touch all of us in this room. And because they touch all of us in this room, we have an opportunity to not only see the way out, but to take the way out. And I love it. It says that you may be able to stand under it. I don't believe that that just means that we are to stand under it and wait for it to pass. I believe that that means that as Christians, we're supposed to walk differently in this time. Yes, we are prudent, but that doesn't mean that we are walking the same way that people who don't believe God are walking right now. If we're walking that way, who sees hope? Who sees the answer? Who knows the way? We're supposed to be a signpost, not just when it's convenient. We're supposed to be a house set up on a hill, regardless of what's going on. We are supposed to be occupying until our Lord comes. We're supposed to continue to do business. We're supposed to continue to love. We're supposed to continue to do what God has commanded us to do as far as our assignments are concerned. Because he didn't say pandemic. He said there'll be trouble. But then he said, take heart. Because I've overcome the trouble, so will you. That's what he said. And so as the band comes back up, I said I wanted you to know something. And the thing that I wanted you to know, it's the thing that I want you to walk away from here knowing, is that God has provided in Christ everything we need to resist the temptation to fear this pandemic and every pandemic that comes your way, whether real or perceived. They sang a song earlier, and as we've lifted God up and made him preeminent, by listening to somebody else lift him up and make him preeminent. I encourage you to do two things right now. I encourage you to open up your mouth, and I encourage you to say of God what he's already said of himself. What do you know him to be? Do you know him? If you do, who is he to you? Who has he always been to you? I want you out of your mouth to start saying those things. And so setting him apart as Lord right now in this moment before we even start singing. But I want that to so saturate you in this moment that when we begin to sing this song, it's different from how it was at the beginning of the service. Because there's a peace now that you are experiencing that you didn't have then just because you decided to make a choice that you didn't up until this point in time. And that's to make him, establish him as preeminent. Establish him as preeminent so that you can enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise so that you can be thankful to him and bless his name. And when you do, I assure you that the peace that we need today is going to be ours today. I can't talk about tomorrow. I don't know tomorrow. We don't have tomorrow. All we have is today. And if today is my last day, I'm going to go out loving.
Amen.
I'm going to go out being the hands and feet of Jesus. And I pray that you will go out and you will be the hands and feet of Jesus. That's what this world needs. That's what I need. That's what you need. So, on the count of three, wherever you are, I want you to start saying of God what his word has already revealed about him, because he watches over his word to perform it. When Jesus was tempted, what did he use? He used the word. He used what we get to use. He showed us the example to follow. And if we follow that example, it said that the enemy could not, had to leave. Why? Because he could not find a place in him. He could not find a place in him, so he had to flee. He had to flee. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what your fear is, but you don't have to keep it. You can lay it at the feet of a good God and watch him take it and watch him replace it with joy. Watch him replace it with strength. Watch him replace it with mercy. To where you're overflowing with thanksgiving. Hallelujah.
You are here.
turn me up? Can you turn me up? Because I want to start this chant out. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. Never stop, never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are. Today, I want you to think about our fearless leader, one of our fearless leaders, Brother Al. What is he doing right now? Y'all know? What's he doing? He's in Thailand. He's on mission. The father of this house, one of the fathers of this house. How? Because he's made Jesus preeminent. And he finds himself in the presence of Almighty God, which gives him the peace to go. Because the mission doesn't stop. The mission doesn't stop until Jesus returns, y'all. So I just want to just encourage you today. I am so thankful that I have an opportunity to be a part of a church like this. And more than that, to be a part of a kingdom that's much greater. So let us pray. Father God,